again going to be in the book of Revelation. And I want to remind you that while the book of Revelation is absolutely a prophetic book about the future of the world, it had a message. You understand it was written to an actual church living in an actual time. And that message then transcends. It was written to a people, a church, who was living in a world that seemed like it was coming to an end. And I'm not going to repeat last week's message. You need to go and listen to that on the website. But they were, you remember, they were living in a world. I mean, their world just, I mean, it was turned upside down. In fact, the world as they knew it was coming to an end. it really was, and it was shifting right under their feet. But God had a message for them. And as you know, that last week was, things are not as they seem. Christ is King. Can I get an amen? And I might add to that, that this week, this past week we just came through, was a good time to know that, wasn't it? I mean, there is, this week was yet another confirmation that we, as a church, are living in a time when it seems that the world as we know it is coming to an end as well. I mean, we just well face that's the reality of where we are. I mean, this week alone, evidently the nuclear deal with Iran that many believe will give Iran an atomic weapon, a nuclear weapon, and therefore put Israel in much peril. Many believe that will be the case. Time will prove out whether that's so, but many believe that is the case. I do know this. I do know it will not be good for Iran to have a nuclear weapon with Israel there in their back door. This week, for the first time in my recollection, in our lifetime, someone was locked up for having to choose between obeying the law or obeying their Christian belief. In America, not in China, not in Russia, right? Not in Iran or Iraq, in this country, in the country that we live. In the last 10 days, 4 cops have been targeted, and just lawlessness seems to be abounding. Do you understand the world as we have known it does seem to be coming to an end? The good news that I want you to know this morning is that in the midst of that, God has a message for the church today. In fact, that is what I want to emphasize this morning in the book of Revelation. Remember, I'm not preaching through the book of Revelation with this study, verse by verse. I'm not drawing out a timeline. I have done that. I've taken a year, 2 different occasions and done that. But this morning, I'm preaching theme by theme through this particular series, theme by theme. And the theme this morning is Christ and His church. Christ and His church. Listen to me. In the last days, the church of Jesus Christ plays a crucial role in what God is doing in the world, and there's something that He wants to say to the church. In fact, when you kind of open up the book of Revelation, and I hope as we go through this series, some of you will open up and just read through it again. We find over and over again in Revelation 1, chapter 4, it says, to the 7 churches of the province of Asia. In verse 10, it says, write a scroll and send it to the 7 churches in the province of Asia. 7 times in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, verse 11, verse 17, and verse 29. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 6, verse 13, and 22. All 3 of those 7 times, the same thing is said over and over again. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Can I tell you today, God has something to say to His church. And just like in that day, when it seemed like their world was coming to an end, so in this day, in our day, that message is still relevant. God still has something He wants to say to the church. And I want us to talk about that just for a minute. And as we do, let me just make clear what I'm talking about here. That word church that appears all of those 7 times and those 3 or 4 times in chapter 1 of Revelation, that word there is ecclesia. It means the ones who are called out of the world unto God assembled together. That's what the word ecclesia actually means. It means those who are called to live not as the world, but to live as God's own. And they are called out and assembled together. That's what the word ecclesia actually means. It means called out and assembled together. And what God was saying is, listen, when the world is screaming, God still has something to say to the church. And the world we live in right now is screaming. You understand, the world we live in is screaming, church, but God still has something to say to the church. God still has a mission for the church. God still has a purpose for the church, just like he did in that in John's day, so he does in our day today. And I want us this morning to take a moment. Make no mistake about it, church. It is imperative that we hear what God is saying to the church. It is imperative in this time, in this season. In fact, I want to talk a little bit about Christ and his church. And then we're going to talk about how we can hear God when the world is screaming. Anybody want to know how to hear God when the world is screaming? It is imperative that we get that this morning. There is a picture that is drawn out, a beautiful picture of this, about Christ and his church in the last part of Revelation chapter 1. It's coming up on the screen. I want to read it for you this morning, and then I want to just talk about it for a moment. I turned, that is John, turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I had turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was one like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. And his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were blazing like fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held the seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was shining like the sun in all of its brilliance. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, a little bit on further down, tells us that the picture that we were seeing there is the picture of the Son of Man, the Son of God, holding, and it says very clearly that the seven lampstands are the churches, and the seven stars in his hands that are here in this passage here, the seven stars are the messengers or the pastors, if you will, of those seven churches. So the picture is this. John looks and he turns and he sees Jesus walking among their seven, not just one like we have here this morning, but there's seven lampstands, and he's walking. He's going from one lampstand to another, to another, to another. And the picture that we have is that of Christ. And I just want you to stay with me for a moment this morning. It's that of Christ, and he's coming to the lampstand. Just like I'm coming to this lamp here. And he's looking at it, and he's looking at the globe, and he's looking at the oil level that is there in the lamp. Now remember, the lampstand represents the church, and he's looking there, and as he's coming as the high priest, he is making sure that oil in that lamp is full. He's taking it and he's inspecting that wick. He's making sure that wick can wick that oil up. He's taking and he's making sure that it's secure there and it is in place there. This picture here is the picture of Christ as he lights the candle, as he lights the lampstand. The picture is that of Jesus. As he gets the flame burning like, and he takes the globe and he's looking at the globe and he's inspecting the globe and he's making sure it's clean. And this morning I had to take before I came this morning and just washed and cleaned this globe. It had smut that had built up over. And then he takes it and puts it in place. See, I want you to get the picture that is here. There is this idea. That somehow Christ has forgotten the church or left out the church. But that's not the picture, my friend. The picture that we have that is drawn for us in the book of Revelation is that Christ is moving among the church. He is trimming the wick. He is filling the oil. He is securing the lid. He is making sure the globe is bright so that the light there will be protected and it will burn. Listen to me in the morning, church. Jesus loves his church in this day. And I want you to know this morning, when the world is screaming, Jesus is still caring for his church. He is still loving his church. He is still trimming his church and and tending to his church and washing his church. He's still adjusting that flame so that it will burn brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. This morning, I want you to get the message. Sometimes we read through the book of Revelation and we get the timeline and the symbols and the chronology right. But what we miss is the message. And the message this morning, like last week's message was, things are not as they seem. Christ is King. The message this morning is this: Christ still has a purpose for his church, and even more so in the last days. Can I tell you this morning, God has called a people unto himself. He has sanctified a people unto himself. He has purified a people unto himself. He has called them out of the world unto himself, and he has called them to gather together and to be the church against which the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Oh, he has not forsaken the church. He's involved with the church. He's not left the church. He's involved with the church. The picture there is that of the high priest. When the Jews of that time read this, immediately their minds went back to the Old Testament temple. Because a high priest in the high priestly robes would go, and that was his job. His job was to make sure that the light kept burning. In fact, there are several places. Your job is to make sure that the lamp does not go out. And our high priest today is none other than Jesus Christ himself. The word says he is our high priest. And what he's doing today is he is making sure that in this world that the lamp burns bright, that the light still burns, that the light still carries in the world that we live in today. Don't you for a moment, regardless of how bad it seems like it's getting in the world, don't you for a moment think that is the fate of the church. Jesus Christ still has a plan for his church, a mission for his church, a purpose for his church, a place for his church, and his place is right in the middle of it. In fact, when you read of those seven churches, when you look at those seven churches on a map, they actually, on a map, actually form a circle in Asia Minor. And what John saw was Jesus standing right in the middle of that, going from church to church to church to church to church. Now, having said that, you got to understand what Jesus is doing when he's going from church to church. He is inspecting, he is looking. It is a moving picture there. And by the way, I want to make sure that I'm real clear this morning. When I use the word church, the word ecclesia is both its parts and its sum. In other words, it is Mike and it is the Rock Church, right? It is the Rock Church and it is the Assemblies of God. It is the Assemblies of God and it is all of the churches in America. It is all the churches in America and all of the church that love Jesus and preach the word world round. So it is Virginia and it is Travis and it is Glenn and Geraldine and it is the Rock Church, and it is the Church of Valdosta, and it goes on. It is the parts and the sum when he says to the church. And so when he comes to the church, but we need to take a moment and understand who it is that's coming. Look at some of these terms. The Son of Man. The Son of Man was actually a term that referred to, it was actually a term that Jesus used for himself several times. There's no doubt about who this is when you read the scripture. This is Jesus Christ. It is reminiscent of some of the Old Testament prophets when they talked about the Son of Man and the angel that was there. Jesus himself is coming. He is, oh my goodness, church, I cannot emphasize it enough. He still cares for his church. He still has the church in his hand. Listen, don't you get discouraged or distracted. Don't you get your eyes off this morning about what's going on in the world. Jesus is still involved in his church. In his church. He is one, watch this, with a robe as a golden sash. You know what that speaks of? That speaks of his purity. That speaks of his purity. He is pure, the one who walks among the church. His hair and white like wool. You know what that speaks of? Look at the gray heads we have. The word says that is a symbol of wisdom, a sign of wisdom. Can I tell you something? There's some things that you just learn with age. You just got to live a while to learn some things. Jesus is the one who is, his head is white. He is the one, listen, who is wise enough to live in this age that we are living in, who is all knowing. Notice his eyes are blazing like fire. He is all seeing. Those eyes blazing like fire. He is all seeing. Listen, there is nothing hid from him. So when he comes to the church, he sees it just like it is. Nothing hidden. Nothing sugar-coated. Yes, he sees it just like it is, but he still comes to the church. He still comes to the church. He still has, his heart is still for the church. Notice what it said, his feet are like bronze. What does that mean, his feet like bronze? How many of you this morning have realized that no matter who it is in your life, sooner or later, every leader, every person in your life, sooner or later, you realize, has clay feet. Right? Sooner or later, they have clay feet. They're human. They're fallible. But not this one. This one's feet are like bronze. They are not clay feet, and they are not mixed. They are pure. They are pure. His feet, listen, this one here is the everlasting. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changes not. This Jesus is the same. Listen, you're not going to wake up in one day and say, oh, well, there it is. Jesus fell too. No, his feet are like bronze. He doesn't have clay feet. Hallelujah. He has bronze feet. Voice like the sound of rushing waters. That actually means an overwhelming voice. Aren't you glad this morning that when the world is screaming, Jesus has an overwhelming voice? Hallelujah. And he comes to the church with that voice. Sharp, two-edged sword. What does that mean? The word speaks of what that means. That's the word of God, which has the ability, like a surgeon's scalpel, has the ability to both cut and heal. One side cuts, the other side heals. When a surgeon does surgery on you, is there pain? Yes, there's pain. Is there an incision? Yes, there's an incision. But oh my goodness, that surgeon's scalpel has performed a healing inside of you. I'm so glad this morning that Jesus loves the church enough to use that sharp double-edged sword that cuts where it needs to cut and heals. He still has a place for the church. He still has a word for the church. Do you understand what he's doing here? As a high priest, he is guarding, he is watching, he is trimming, he's filling the oil, he's cleaning the globe, he's caring for, he's overseeing his church. And I want you to know this morning, Jesus is still moving among the church from lampstand to lampstand to lampstand, from person to person to person to person. Not only is he moving among the church, the other thing I want you to see this morning is he is speaking to the church. He is speaking to the church. I said it a few moments ago, but I want to bring it up on the screen. I want you to see it in writing. Seven times to every single church, he says this, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He that has an ear, there's no mystery here. In other words, there are no strange words. This is saying exactly what it is saying. There's no odd words or odd definitions here. This is saying, listen up. The Spirit of God has something to say to you. Listen up. The very breath of God is speaking, is moving in your midst, and he has something to say. And then we begin to see. In chapters 2 and chapter 3, then we begin to see what he says. And I can't go through and preach about every church. And I'm not going to preach through verse by verse by verse, but I want you to listen. What is it that he's saying? I want you to watch. Go through it and read chapter 2 and chapter 3 this week. And what you will find is this. He says both encouragement and correction. Let me say it again. Both encouragement and correction. To five churches, he spoke both encouragement. I see your ways. I see that you still love me. I see that you've not bowed. I see that you still hold my name holy. I see that you have good works. I see that you are doing great things. To five churches, he speaks encouragement and correction. He says, but I have something against you. I have this, there's this in your life, but you've lost your first love. But you've stopped moving. What is he doing? You know what he's doing? He's coming to the church and he's making sure the oil is full and the wick is trimmed and the globe is clean, because it matters that the light still shine in the world. fact, it's fascinating. There is one church that he has no criticism of. There is a feeling in some charismatic circles today that the prophet is only supposed to speak something positive. If he speaks anything negative, he's got to speak something positive. Can I tell you something? In the book of Revelation, there's only one church that Jesus did not criticize. Watch this now. And it's the suffering, persecuted church. You want to be the church that only has positive things said about you? Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? The only one he didn't criticize, the only one he didn't correct, is the one that was under so much of the boot of persecution that he knew they could not stand any criticism at all. No, thank you. No, thank you. To five churches, he spoke correction and encouragement. To one church, he only spoke encouragement. And to one church, he spoke only correction. To the suffering church, he only spoke encouragement. To the lukewarm church, he only spoke correction. I would that you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I'll spew you out of your mouth. How many of you here this morning drink your coffee hot? Man, I can't drink hot coffee much anymore, but on Sunday afternoons, because of this voice, on Sunday afternoons, I get me a cup of hot coffee. Geraldine, on the other hand, gets her a cup of cold coffee. How many of you this morning drink your coffee cold? But there's nobody here this morning that likes it lukewarm, room temperature. But even to that church, you know what he says? Do you know what he says to that church? The church that he could find nothing but correction for? Do you know what he says even to that church? He says this. He says, those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. Those whom I love, I convict and I educate. That's what the word discipline means. I educate and I instruct. So even the church that he had nothing good to say about, he says to you, because I love you, I correct you. Because I love you, I instruct you. Because I love you, I rebuke you. Do you get it this morning, church? He's coming to the church. He's speaking to the church. Individually and collectively, he wants the church to know. In fact, to five churches, he says, repent. To every church, he says something about being an overcomer. To those that overcome, 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 to those that overcome. And to two churches, he says, just hold on. Just hold on a little longer. Just hold on a little longer. Just keep holding on to what you have. I've got this thing under control. I know it seems to you that the world is going out of control, but you're an overcomer. Just hold on. You're an overcomer. Just hold on. You keep holding on because I've got this. He loves the church. Why would he still be moving in the church? Why would he still be speaking? Why wouldn't he just do away with the church? Why does it matter? Why is it so significant? Listen this morning, God wants to speak to you this morning. In fact, there's a verse to the last church that is actually to the whole church. It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It's coming up on the screen. Notice what it says. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with him and he with me. God wants this morning to speak to the church. Why is it so significant? Why does it matter? Why in the day when it seems like the world is coming to an end, why does it matter so much? Listen to me this morning. The darker the world gets, the more important the light is. The more strange that it gets for us, church, the more important the light is. The darker it seems to get in the world, the more necessary it is that the oil be full and that the wick be trimmed and that the globe be cleaned. Are you understanding me this morning? Yes, we're living in a darkening, 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 darkening day. But as we live in a darkening day, how much more important it is that the light of Jesus Christ continue to burn, continue to shine, continue to go forth. The darker it gets, the more important it is that our oil be full, and that our wick be trimmed, and that our globe be cleaned. Yes, we are living in a darkening world, but in that darkening world, the light of Jesus Christ in the church, both individually and collectively, it burns brighter and brighter and brighter. God has a mission for the church, a purpose for the church. That is why he is still moving. And that is why he is still speaking to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and I will sit with them and I will eat with them and they with me. Now listen to me. That verse has been used for years as a call to salvation. And I'm not saying that that is a wrong thing. But you understand that's not the way it was written in Revelation chapter 3 and 20. In Revelation chapter 3 and 20, it was written to the church. And he's saying to the church, I stand at the door and knock. I want to fill your oil full. I want to trim your wick. I want to clean your globe because I have a workplace that I need to put you in. I have a hospital room I need to put you in. I've got a truck I need to put you in. I've got a restaurant I need to put you in. I've got a classroom I need to put you in. I've got a courtroom that I need to put you in. I need the church to burn bright in this day. And the darker the world gets, the more important it is, the more important it is that our light burn bright. You can bring the lights back up. This morning, I want you to understand and see this morning. When the world is screaming, Jesus still has a word for the church. You are my light. Lamp, you are my light. Let me fill you with oil. Let me trim your wick. Let me clean your globe. And let me lift you higher and higher, because the higher I lift you, the brighter the light shines. The brighter the light shines. Pastor, how do we do that? How do we do that? I'm going to mention this morning. I will need to get into it more next week. With my voice this morning, I need to get into it more next week, but I want to point this out to you. At the end of the book of the third chapter of Revelation, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens to me, I will come in. And Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 says, behold, I looked and there was an open door. Do you see it? In the last verse of chapter 3, he's saying, I'm standing at the door knocking. In the first verse of chapter 4, the door's open. And when you look in the door, read Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. There is this huge, I mean, it's just one huge worship service. It seems to me that the key that fits the latch that opens the door is worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when I say worship, that word worship literally means to lay down or to crouch down, prostrate before him, to bow down at the lowest position before him and give him your everything. You want to hear the voice of God? You want to hear the voice of God when the world is screaming? Worship. Worship him, church. Worship. And I don't mean songs, although songs is part of it. And I don't mean prayer, although prayer is part of it. And I don't mean coming to church, although that is what I'm talking about. Crouching down and bowing down and saying things are not as they seem. Christ is King, and I worship him with my everything. I give him my all. Worship is the key, church. Worship unlocks the door. It opens the door Pastor, why is that so crucial? I'm going to tell you there's two things, there's two reasons that's crucial. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to have to pull this to a close this morning. One reason that's so crucial is that Jesus, God is speaking to the church right now in this day when we are living. And he's got something he wants to say to you because it's crucial that your light burn. There's a second reason it matters that you be able to hear the voice of God, especially when the world is screaming. It's because church, one day he is going to call the church unto himself. One day he's going to say what Revelation chapter 4 verse 1 says. He says, come up here. And one day he is going to call all of his church unto himself. And when he does, I want to be able to hear. I want to be able to hear. I'm going to ask the praise team to come this morning. What I want you to get this morning, the whole point of everything I've said this morning is this. Christ is the King of the church. Hear his voice and open the door, and not only will you be in tune to what he's saying now, but you will be in tune no matter what the future brings. There's a lot of people, including the church, that seem to be concerned about the future. I'm telling you this morning, he is King. Things are not as they seem. Christ is King. He is still speaking to the church. And if you will open the door and hear what he was saying, he wants you to understand what's going on. He wants you to see what's going on. I'm going to talk some next week about Christ's perspective. You know what? I want to see things as he sees things. Amen. I'm going to be talking about that some next week. But the key to that is opening the door and hearing. And that it seems that the latch that opens that door is worship. And so I thought it keenly appropriate this morning that the way to close this service is to do so over Holy Communion. I know we do this the first Sunday of every month, but I pray that it never become a ritual and it never become monotonous. When we take communion, we are worshiping the Savior who gave his life, who gave himself, who gave his body on a cross. He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. This, if there's any place to bow, it's before the cross of Christ. And that's what communion gives us a chance to do. It gives us a chance to bow before the Savior who gave his life for us and is now risen again. The Lamb who overcomes. He is the Lamb who overcomes. Amen. So this morning, this is what I want you to do. The men are going to come in just a moment. They're going to serve communion. I want you to hold it in your hands. And my invitation this morning, we're going to take the communion together, so just hold it in your hand. But my invitation this morning is you're holding it as they are serving us. For you to pray this prayer. Lord, in this dark day, help me to worship you with all of me. Help me to worship you with my life. Help you to worship you with my desires. Help me to worship you with my time. My time. Help me to worship you with my treasure. Help me to worship you with my talents and my gifts. Help me to worship you with my worship. Make my life a life of worship. Because I want to hear. I want to hear. I want the door to be open. I want to hear what you're saying. I want to be a lamp that is burning bright, a globe that is clean, a wick that is trimmed, a vessel that is full of the oil to burn bright. The key to that is true, genuine, total, complete worship. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask the gentleman to come. Remember, take the communion, hold it in your hand. We're going to take it together. And as they sing, make it your prayer this morning. God, I want my life to be a life of worship. You do not have to be a member of the Rock Church to take communion with us this morning. You simply have to be a member of the family of God. And if you are, we encourage you. So as the guys serve the communion, take them and hold it this morning. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Hallelujah to you. Before we take the communion this morning, I just feel impressed in my spirit to just give an opportunity. There may be one here this morning. And I was prepared to just flow into communion, but I want to take a moment and do this. There may be someone here this morning. that you are not right with Christ, and you know it. Maybe you've never accepted Him as your Savior. Or maybe you just have taken back over the reins. You know Christ is not Lord of your life. You're Lord of your life. And this morning, you know you need to get that right. Surrender yourself to Him. Because I'm telling you, the days are getting darker and darker. When Jesus still wants to speak to His people. He is still speaking to His people. And this morning, if you know you're not in relationship with Him so that you can hear, something between you and Him. Maybe you've never accepted Him, or maybe you just know you're not living for Him. So I want to take a moment and give you a chance to get that right. Just bow your heads this morning before we do. If that's you this morning, you, Pastor, I know I'm not in relationship with Christ. Don't you slip your hand up, because I want to pray with you before we take communion. Is there one man, one woman, one teenager? Yes, ma'am, thank you for that. One child? Yes, sir, thank you for that. Yes, ma'am, thank you for that. I see that hand, thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Listen, He wants you to be His, to belong to Him. He wants to be in relationship with you. He is indeed knocking on the door this morning. Any that want to join those two or three? Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here's what I'm going to ask. If you were one of those that raised your hand, just right now, I just want you in your own way. I'm going to finish this with a prayer, but I want you in your own way right now. You just begin to ask Him, Lord, I ask forgiveness for my sins. I don't want to be Lord of my own life anymore. Come on, you're just in your own way right now. Or maybe you didn't raise your hand and you know you need the prayer of this prayer. Lord, I don't want to be Lord of my own life anymore. I want you to be Lord. I ask forgiveness for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Just in your own way right now. This is between you and Him. Father, I pray for those that are praying that prayer right now. That they acknowledge you as Lord. They confess it with their mouth. They believe it in their heart. And that this morning, Lord, they enter into relationship with you in a divine and supernatural way, but also in a real way in the world they live in the life they live in right now, God. Wash them of their sins. Move into their heart and move upon their life, God, in a powerful way this morning. Transform and change them, Lord, more each day to be more like you. Hear the cry of their heart as they repent of their sins and ask forgiveness. And let them feel and know, Lord, that when we ask, you are faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, Lord. May they sense that cleansing right now, God, as they pray that prayer and they ask you for forgiveness and to be the Lord of their life. I thank you and I praise you for it right now, God. For those three that raised their hand, and maybe there's one or two, Lord, for that man that didn't, Lord, that just couldn't raise his hand, but he's prayed the prayer. You know what you're doing in his life. Right now, God, I thank you for it, Lord. For that lady, Lord, that knows that she's taking the reins and the controls back and she wants to surrender to you, just do it right now, God. I thank you and I praise you for it, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would seal what's been done this morning in these lives. As we transition to communion, that, Lord, they will have a renewed sense as they take this communion, that you died for them and that you live again as their living Lord and Savior. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Matthew 26 and 26 says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he broke it and he blessed it. And he said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Lord, as we hold this bread in our hand, we are reminded that there was a penalty for sin. There was a price, and you paid that price in your broken body. And your body was broken, Lord, that ours could be whole. There's some this morning that need physical healing, some that need spiritual healing, some that need emotional healing. Maybe there's some relationships that need to be healed. But you're the healer. And that was purchased, Lord, in your broken body. And I thank you and I praise you for that. So as we take this bread this morning, may we remember the brokenness of your body and accept the wholeness of ours. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let us take the bread. Lord, the penalty for sin was not just a broken body. The penalty for sin was death. So it cost you your blood. Your life was poured out. Why did the blood have to spill? Because the life is in the blood. But Lord, as we take this, we are reminded this morning that by the blood we are made alive again. That in the blood that you shed, you purchased life for us. Life, abundant life, and eternal life, God. As we take this cup this morning, we remember that your life was poured out, that our life could be full of you and your presence, and we could walk in relationship with you. So as we take this cup this morning, we thank you, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the cup together. Now just take a moment and worship him, won't you, in your own way? You know what worship looks like in your heart right now. Oh, yes, God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Come on, let's don't rush this moment. Worship him. Worship him. That's the key to opening the door. Come on, church. This is worship. You bring your needs to the Lord. That's worship. That's worship. Yes. Hallelujah. Lord, I just anoint Bill right now. Lord, I lay my hands on his lungs right now. Lord, you're the breather of life. You're the breather of life. Your spirit, your ruah, your breath, God, I pray that it would breathe into Bill right now, God, and there would be healing of these lungs. And these lungs, God, would begin to regenerate. I know they say that's impossible, but nothing's impossible to you, God. Those lungs will begin, Lord, to have... Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord, that we know that things are not as they seem, that you are King. And thank you, Lord, that we know that you are still moving among and speaking to your church, Lord, doing your work, that the church may be the light on the hill, God. Thank you, Lord. May the oil be higher. And may the wick be trimmed perfectly. And may the glow be clean, Lord, that the light can be brighter than ever before in our lives and in our church, Lord. We thank you. We praise you for, Lord. You are King. And we say hallelujah to you. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at me this morning, church. God's doing something. God's moving in these last days. He's moving in these last days. And you, the church, and we, the church, have a critical part in that. Let him do that work in your life so that your light burns bright. He's moving. He's speaking. I love you. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings and the love and the power of God. We love you. God bless you.